violent passions seldom last long, and those of women least of any. A dead-still calm succeeded the storm, which ended in a profuse shower of tears. He was so regardful as not to attempt the renewal of those extremities which had thrown me, just before, into such violent agitations, but, now secure of possession, contented himself with bringing me to temper by degrees, and waiting at the hand of time for those fruits of generosity and courtship which he since often reproached himself with having gathered much too green, when, yielding to the invitations of my inability to resist him, and overborne by desires, he had wreaked his passion on a mere lifeless, spiritless body, dead to all purposes of joy, since, taking none, it ought to be supposed incapable of giving any. This is, however, certain. My heart never thoroughly forgave him the manner in which I had fallen to him, although, in point of interest, I had reason to be pleased that he found, in my person, wherewithal to keep him from leaving me as easily as he had gained me. There are not, on earth at least, eternal griefs. Mine were, if not at an end, at least suspended. My heart, which had been so long overloaded with anguish and vexation, began to dilate and open to the least gleam of diversion or amusement. I wept a little, and my tears relieved me. I sighed, and my sighs seemed to lighten me of a load that oppressed me. My countenance grew, if not cheerful, at least more composed and free. Mr. H., for that was the name of the gentleman, then acquainted me that, having taken a solid, sincere affection to me, he would begin by giving me one leading mark of it by removing me out of a house which must, for many reasons, be irksome and disagreeable to me, into convenient lodgings, where he would take all imaginable care of me. And desiring me not to have any explanations with my landlady, or be impatient till he returned, he dressed and went out, having left me a purse with 2.20 guineas in it, being all that he had about him, as he expressed it, to keep my pocket till further supplies. He did not return till 6 in the evening, to take me away to my new lodgings, and my movables being soon packed and conveyed into a hackney coach, it cost me but little regret to take my leave of a landlady whom I thought I had so much reason not to be over-pleased with. And as for her part, she made no other difference to my staying or going but what that of the profit created. We soon got to the house appointed for me, which was that of a plain tradesman who, on the score of interest, was entirely at Mr. H.'s devotion, and who let him the first floor very genteelly furnished for 2 guineas a week, of which I was in stated mistress, with a maid to attend me. He stayed with me that evening, and we had a supper from a neighbouring tavern, after which, and a gay glass or two, the maid put me to bed. Mr. H. soon followed, and notwithstanding the fatigues of the preceding night, I found no quarter nor remission from him. He piqued himself, as he told me, on doing the honours of my new apartment. The morning being pretty well advanced, we got to breakfast, and the ice now broke. My heart, no longer engrossed by love, began to take ease, and to please itself with such trifles as Mr. H.'s liberal liking led him to make his court to the usual vanity of our sex. Silks, laces, earrings, pearl necklace, gold watch, in short, all the trinkets and articles of dress were lavishly heaped upon me, the sense of which, if it did not create returns of love, forced a kind of grateful fondness, something like love. A distinction it would be spoiling the pleasure of 9/10 of the keepers in the town to make, and is, I suppose, the very good reason why so few of them ever do make it. Mr. H. continued kind and tender to me, yet with all this I was far from happy, for, besides my regret for my dear youth, which, though often suspended or diverted, still returned upon me in certain melancholic moments with redoubled violences, I wanted more society, more dissipation. He made suppers at my lodgings, where he bought several companions of his pleasures with their mistresses. And by this means, I got into a circle of acquaintance that so stripped me of all the remains of bashfulness and modesty which might be yet left of my country education, and were, to a just taste, perhaps the greatest of my charms. We visited one another in form, and mimicked, as near as we could, all the miseries, the follies, and impertinences of the women of quality, in the round of which they trifle away their time, without its ever entering into the little heads that on earth there cannot subsist anything more silly, more flat, more insipid and worthless than, generally considered, their system of life is. They ought to treat the men as their tyrants indeed, were they to condemn them to it.